Much like Bob did last week, I am going to shamelessly promote a book, my favorite, the best-selling book of all time, our Bible. I hesitate to call what I'm doing as a sermon or a teaching because I don't really feel qualified to do any of those. But what I am going to do is share with you where I am in my faith and walking and trying to live my life as a Christian. I titled this talk, Learning to Rely on Jesus, but as I've been thinking about it and praying about it, it's really remembering, because that's what happens to me. I forget to rely on Jesus, and then I find myself in a lot of trouble, and then I'm dialing 911 to God and asking him, and inevitably he comes to my rescue. So the scripture, James 2:19, says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So when I call myself a believer, that's not particularly surprising. If you recognize there is a God, but the devils also do that. So what do we do? What's the difference? And James goes on to talk about works. And I'm thinking, when I'm reading it, what I'm hearing is that we have to be action toys. We have to be living our lives as Christians. Darlene McQueen shared a story a few years ago about talking with a friend in Sunnycrest Mall about the Family Fun Day, and another person came by who wasn't, I don't know if she's a believer, but she doesn't come to our church, and she said, "Oh, Calvary Baptist, yes, they do what they believe." And I thought, yes, I want to be part of that group. I want to be known as someone who actually practices rubber meets the road Christianity, which is not easy, but this body is a great example of giving and being proactive in the community. So works, what he's talking about is, I don't think it's like a list of things that I've done for God, therefore I qualify. I think it's more about the personal relationship we have with Jesus and how he wants us to be following his words and his instructions about how to live our lives and how he would react in all circumstances. I don't know about you, but I've already failed at that a couple of times today, I think. But wait, there is hope, because the guy that he said will be the rock of his church famously denied him 3 times. And still he was redeemed and began his work for Jesus. And I think, you know, we're just human and we are naturally take things into our own strength and try to do things in our own way. Sometimes I rationalize it and say, I don't want to bother him with this trivial matter. I can handle it. I know what I want. I know how to do this. And fall on my face, and then ask God, and it's kind of like, I guess the convicting part for me is when you read in the Bible and it talks about how he knew everything that we were going to do forever. Like, he knows exactly how we're going to react, and that is humbling somehow for me. I'll share one story at great risk. I always wanted to be married, so I chose a wife that I thought would be the one, and that failed. And meanwhile, I had met Melanie, and we were sharing stories and learning about each other. I had no idea that she might be interested in someone like me, but that's another issue. And during this conversation, one of the conversations, she said, "What kind of woman are you attracted to?" And I said, "Oh, tall, dark." Yes, well, I haven't lived that down. But it was my idea, right? So, coming August, we've been friends for 25 years and married for 24. And yes, well, the other side to that is that I had been seeing another woman and it crashed and burned, and I went outside and the wind was blowing and I threw my arms in the air and I yelled at God and said, "That's it. I will no longer pursue women. Done. If you have someone in mind, either phone me or knock on my door." And I went in and fell asleep on the sofa, and an hour later my phone rang. I still didn't get it. So, yes, most of my frustration has been in my life, has risen out of that line in the Lord's Prayer that I so cleverly misinterpreted, where it says, "Thy will be done," not "my will be done." It's "thy will." And learning to stay there in all of our walk, all of our life, everything we do, to be as Jesus would do it. Like, how do we stay there? What are the methods that we can use to remind ourselves? How do we hit the refresh button? Keep our hearts open to God. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The word "direct" here means make straight, clear obstructions, and enable one to go forward. Early on as a believer, I was having trouble with smoking. I'd been smoking cigarettes since I was 11 years old, and I was now 40, and I didn't want to be doing that anymore, but it was an addiction that I couldn't overcome. I was at a men's Bible study and sharing that story, and one of the older men said, "What I do is I picture in my mind that cigarette on the cross, and the desire goes away." And you know, that's something that I've done with many things. I mean, you can, just about everything, that miraculous cross, lest we forget, is the miracle of resurrected Jesus, right? And he takes it all from us. So, you know, I don't know if any of you have any methods that you use to remind yourselves, remind ourselves, to rely on God, take it to the cross, call on Jesus. Music has always been really important to me, so we had a vision banquet, and I sat at the table, and one of the people said, "We need to find some help for Wally because he's the only one doing sound, and Phil Johnson has stepped in and he is doing that, and it's a real blessing." But for me, there's that saying about the difference between being in the world and being a Christian, is that it's not a got to, it's a get to, because music is really important to me. So I get to come here Thursday nights and hear all the songs in the middle of the week, and then I get to come back on Sunday and hear them all again and then again during the service. So it's like the songs reverberating in my brain remind me of my relationship with God. It's all of these songs, the Psalms are something that Melanie uses as a method when she's troubled with something, or, as Bob said last week, fretting. Not that we use that word a lot, but worrying, unable to sleep, overcome with anxiety. she goes and opens her Bible to the Psalms. Not anyone in particular, but they're all reminders that God's in control. We also have a friend in Lethbridge who is, she has a church there, and she, but her mantra is, I just Philippians 4:8 it, whatever the circumstance. And I want to read that to you from the King James Version. Somehow I like the whatsoevers, and what it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And you know that, it's very convicting. It's not easy to do sometimes, especially when that person who needs a driving lesson just cut you off, or isn't driving fast enough, or seems cars and that kind of thinking go hand in hand. It's very difficult for me sometimes. And music, like I mentioned before, it's so uplifting. You hear a song, I mean, the power, I don't know if any of you have ever seen Ken Burns, who's a documentary filmmaker who's done all of his work with public broadcasting in the U.S. He did one on Amazing Grace, and the effect, the number of people, all of every single interview he did with people about Amazing Grace and how it reminds them of the presence of God, how it brought them to God, how it changed. I mean, the black community used it as their, really, it was their anthem for emancipation, because it was written by John Newton, of course, being a former slaver and ship's captain bringing slaves to America. That transformation, that story obviously followed it or preceded it, and it took on more power and importance for them especially. But it's undeniable that when you hear that song that there is a presence of God in it. So, does anybody have any special method of remembering to rely on Jesus? No participation? Oh. Crash and burn. Okay. How does that work? Oh, I see. Then when you wake up, you say, yeah. How great thou art. It's amazing. Daniel. Oh, scriptures put to music. Hallelujah. Absolutely. That's something I was going to mention later, is that getting together to pray is amazing how powerful that is. Just being able to confess your worry and concern and then have another, you don't even have to have an, it's not that you want another opinion, it's just that you, yeah. Susie? Yes, first thing in the morning devotions. We read Daily Bread every morning together, and it's quite astounding how timely it is for us. I don't know, some days it's something we've been talking about the night before, and we open it and read it, and then it's like, okay. Yes, whatever it takes to keep reminding ourselves to give it all to Jesus. Prayer, scripture, songs of worship. Ask a fellow believer to pray for you. Walking, especially in nature. Take joy in all things. The wondrous cross. I have to tell you, I hadn't figured out exactly what I was going to speak about today. And several weeks ago, Tom said, do you know what you're speaking on? And I said, learning to rely on Jesus. And he said, okay, well, that's easy to cover. And but all of these songs are just so appropriate. And I never did speak to Bob about it. And then last week, it's like we're doing a series. His was the circle of successful living based on resting in God and allowing him to lead. And it's quite, I feel humbled that that God chooses to bring these reminders to us in this way. And you know, I just want to thank God for his son. Thank God for the miracle of this cross and how everything, no matter how small or how large, he is in control of. And that we just need to remember to rely on Jesus. Amen. I think that's my 20 minutes, and that's my limit. So we'll have one more song.